Didn't our praise band do a fantastic job this morning? Give them another hand. Thank you. How many of you were on the mission trip to Argentina? Raise your hands if you're in here this morning. Will I give you permission to find a place and lay down? And we won't bother you while I preach. In fact, when I was pastoring, I had those that slept sitting up. So maybe you'll just do that too. You could do that. But man, what a great trip. Richard was telling me all about it and how God honored and how God blessed. Listen, God honors a church that is a missional church, and He blesses it. You know, I've preached here, but it's been a long time. I don't even remember how long ago it was, but I've known for years your church and what a great church you are. But it's kind of a pastor thing. When you drive up on the property, you kind of start looking and paying attention. Let me tell you something. A person who has never been here, when they've been here 2 minutes, will know there's something special in this church. The friendliness, the way you receive people, and the spirit in the worship service. Let me just, this is not the message, this is just kind of the commercial, so let me share it with you this morning. You've had great leadership through the years, and you have a great team, and I will tell you this, God is going to bring you a great pastor to lead you into the future, because God has His hands on this church. But I will tell you this, in today's culture, by the time a person visits your church, they've already heard your music and they've already heard the preaching. So they already know that that resonates with them. You know what they're looking for? How they're received by the people while they're here. So I would just tell you, thank you for loving on people the way you do. Keep that up, and you're just going to continue to see God do great things. Now, before I get in the message this morning, let me just go ahead and get this out of the way. Let me ask you, how many football fans, college football fans, do we have in the house? Raise your hand. Less today, there probably would have been by 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon. But anyway, I just got to ask, how many Alabama or Tennessee fans are there in here? Raise your hands. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Tough day yesterday. Tough day. But that's all right. I'm a Georgia fan. We had a tough day just a week ago. So I feel your pain. But I love college football. Our son lives in Athens and went to Georgia. We love the University of Georgia. Our oldest daughter, though, is a Shorter grad. And she was here, and then she taught school for a while at West Main Elementary before coming back down to Gwinnett County. Her husband pastors, our son-in-law pastors down there. In fact, they met at Shorter College, and I made a suggestion, and every parent of a college student, I think, would agree. If your child meets their spouse, future spouse, at college, the college should pay for the wedding. I offered that suggestion, and nobody took me up on it, Richard. I don't get it. They didn't take me up on it. But she and our son-in-law just love Rome, and they love this area. And so they just wanted me to just say hello to everybody for them this morning. My wife is not with me because she teaches in our son-in-law's church. And so you know how it is. When you're out, it leaves a void. So she's there this morning. Well, let me invite you today to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 23. And immediately when I say that, you recognize the passage. Psalm chapter 23. Psalm 23 is the most well-known passage in the Old Testament, and it's one of the most well-known and most popular in all the Bible. It's been used in many different settings. It's been used in speeches. It's been set to music. It's even been used in pop culture. Probably not in the correct way, but listen to this. Groups like the Grateful Dead and Pink Floyd quoted from the 23rd Psalm. Now, some of you are looking at me like you know exactly who I'm talking about. Others are looking at me like I don't have a clue who you're talking about. It's also been used in music, or been used in movies. Movies like the Titanic. You'll remember there the 23rd Psalm was quoted. And even Clint Eastwood and Pell Rider quoted part of the 23rd Psalm. But on a serious note, it's been used in very serious speeches. Abraham Lincoln often referred to this psalm in the darkest days of the Civil War. George W. Bush used part of it when he addressed the nation following the tragedy of 9/11, and many of you will remember that. But you know, let me tell you the problem with a passage like this. It's so familiar to us that we can forget its meaning. We can quote it and we hear it all the time, but sometimes familiarity, as has been said, breeds contempt. And what that means is this: it means we can know something so well we begin to take it for granted. You know, we can do that in many areas of life. Those who are married, if we don't constantly feed our marriages, we'll begin to take those for granted. The freedoms we have as a nation, folks, we better not take our freedoms for granted, because they can be taken from us just as easily as they've been given to us, or maybe more easily. And the same is true of Scripture. Some of those most popular passages in the Bible, we could take them for granted if we don't spend time asking God to just reintroduce us to what He has to say in those passages. So this morning, I'm going to read it. And then before I get to the message, I want to pray with all of us. And I want us to ask God this morning, as I read this passage and at the end of it, if He will just make it fresh and new to our hearts today. Let's look at it. The 23rd Psalm, David has written this psalm, and he says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Would you pray with me this morning? Father, as we have read this great passage that You gave to us through David, Lord, many of us have heard it many, many, many times. We've read it, we've quoted it, we've listened to it. Father, I pray today that You will make it fresh to us. Father, I pray today that we will hear it with new ears, that we will hear it and look into this passage as if we've never seen it or heard it before. And Father, today, I pray that You would speak to us through it. Lord, that You would teach us today Your truth as You've given it to us in the 23rd Psalm. And we pray today that Your word would be honored and Your message would be honored. It would not be my words, it would be Your words. And Father, today, that lives will be changed because of the power of grace and the power of mercy that comes and gives us peace. I pray it in Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, there's times when we really need this psalm in our lives. Let me ask you, do you ever remember in your lifetime a time when things have been more unsettled than they are right now? Do you ever remember a time when there's been so many questions and so much difficulty and so much struggle, and people have a tough time getting along, and there seems to be just tension on every hand? I see it more than I believe I've ever seen it in all of my life, as long as I've lived. So how do we handle our culture today when there's so much tension? How do we in our own lives find peace when there's so many struggles? Well, I believe the psalm that we just read teaches us how to have peace in midst of the storm. Now, I want us to look at several things this morning. You have the outline in your bulletin if you picked up one. So let's look at the first thing, and the thing that lays the foundation for everything we'll say today. Peace comes when you have the right guide in your life. Did you hear me? Peace comes when you have the right guide in your life. You see, one of the responsibilities of the shepherd is to guide the sheep where they need to go. Now, I'm going to make a statement. I want you to hear it, and I want you to think about it. Everybody has a shepherd. Everybody has a shepherd. I know that sheep are not a primary commodity of our area, and you don't see many shepherds walking around in our communities today. Although I was going to preach somewhere a few weeks ago, and I was preaching another passage, but I was driving, and I looked off the side of the road, and there was a big herd of sheep. And I thought, man, maybe they're making a comeback in this area. Well, the truth of the matter is, though, whether you're a farmer or a banker, whether you're a teacher or a politician, whether you are rich or poor, whether you're single or married, whether you're young or old, everybody has a shepherd. Everybody has something that guides your life. There's something that gives you direction. There's something that you depend on. It can be money. It can be the search for the next pleasurable thing. It can be your career, or it can be another person. But everybody has a guide. So my question to you this morning, who is the shepherd of your life? Who is it? Who's giving you direction this morning? Who's leading you to the decisions, or what is leading you to the decisions that you're making this very day? The Bible tells us that as you read in the 23rd Psalm, that David had a shepherd in his life. And I want us to see that. Go back to verse 1. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. You see, David would tell us that peace comes when you have the right shepherd in your life. Folks, let me tell you something. Anything or anyone that you place your trust in, your dependence on, and you look to for guidance in life is at best temporary, except the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only permanent guide who will guide you through every situation in life and never abandon you. He's the only one who will give you, listen, He will give you the right guidance at the right time and do it every time. Do you agree with that? It's Jesus. So David says, look at what he says. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." You see, the second thing we see is this. Psalm 23 is an invitation to make God personal. To make God personal. David did not say, "The Lord is a shepherd." David didn't say, "The Lord is the best shepherd." David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." He made it very, very personal. You know what David is telling us? He says, "I have confidence to face whatever life throws at me. I have confidence to face whatever is happening in my life because I know that the Lord will never abandon me, and He will strengthen me and guide me and provide for me everything I need." Folks, there's never been a time in our world when that's more needed than it is right now, to have someone who will guide your life, someone who will give you direction, who you can call Lord. Now listen, here's the key. If you're taking notes, write this down. Someone on whom you can always depend. You can always depend. David says, "I know this. No matter what I'm going through, what giants I'm facing, no matter what my enemies are saying, no matter what's happening in the world or in the culture around me, I know this. The Lord will take care of me." Wow. That brings peace. That brings peace. See, when you look at this passage, it tells us this, that He will provide whatever we need, and He will bring calm to our lives, even in the face of difficulty and trials. Well, why do we need a shepherd? Why do we need the personal shepherd that David describes as the Lord God? I'll tell you. Without him, we'll never find direction and peace in life as we were intended to live it. Now, I want you to think with me. When you read this, David is writing as a shepherd. He's tending sheep. I can see David out on the hillside. God's inspiring his writing, and he's looking at the herd of sheep that he is overseeing. He's looking at them. And so he begins to think of himself and us as sheep. Did you know that over 200 times in the Bible, we are referred to as sheep? Over 200 times. Now think about that. You say, wow, that nice, cuddly, sweet, pretty little animal. Some of you are going to be tempted to go home today and look at your spouse or your parents, your children, and say, just remember, I'm just a little sheep, okay? Not so fast. Because you see, what you need to understand is this. Sheep do not do a good job of taking care of themselves. Sheep do not do a good job of taking care of themselves. This may be something someone needs very specifically this morning. Left to themselves, sheep will wander right into danger. Left to themselves, sheep will wander right into danger. Let me tell you something, folks. Left to ourselves, we'll do the same thing. Amen? We'll make decisions we didn't think we'd ever make. We'll go places we didn't think we'd ever go. We'll do things we didn't think we'd ever do. Because when we're left to ourselves, we tend to wander into danger. I was reading some time ago, and I fact-checked this many times because, you know, you just can't believe much of what you're reading here today. That commercial a few years ago when the young lady said, well, it's got to be true, it's on the internet. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. But I fact-checked this one. I looked at it from every angle I could, and it is true. In 2005 in Turkey, some shepherds had been given the responsibility of taking care of several herds of sheep that had been pulled together into one large herd. That was their responsibility. That was their job. For whatever reason, one morning, they all decided to go get breakfast, and they left nobody in charge of the sheep. They left. Sheep were just there. While they were gone, out of the 1,500 sheep, 450 of them jumped off a cliff to their death. They jumped. And they died. And it started when one sheep, walked up to the edge of that cliff, looked over, and for whatever reason decided to jump. For whatever reason, thought it was a good idea. You said, why do you think he did that? I'm not a sheep psychologist. I don't know. But he did. Listen to this. The whole herd followed, and 450 of them died. 450 of them died. Kind of gives new meaning to what your parents told you when you were a child. If your friend Joe jumped off the cliff, would you jump too? Well, these sheep did. You say, well, that's tragic. I would never do that. I want you to listen to what Isaiah said about us. Listen to Isaiah. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Every one of us. We have turned everyone to his own way. What that says is this. We've all decided to go in our own direction. We've all decided to do our own thing. We've all decided to live life the way we want to live it. Now, that can look different for different people. One, it could be religion. It could be religion. I'm a religious person. Did you know you can be religious and lost? I'll never forget when I was 12 years old. We were in a revival meeting. Back when you had 8 days of revival. I mean, it went on. Now, I was a kid, so it went on and on and on and on. And I remember that Friday night of that 8-day revival, when the invitation was given, a man that everybody in that church knew came forward at the time we call invitation that we'll have at the end of this service this morning. And he met with the pastor, and they spoke, and they spent some time together. And then when the invitation was over, the pastor would have never embarrassed this man, but the man asked for the opportunity, and he said to the congregation, to all of us who were sitting there, he said, I want you to know I just gave my life to Jesus Christ. Well, that's an incredible thing. But let me tell you what makes that unique. He was already religious. He was already a member of that church. He actually was a deacon in that church. He'd been in that church for years. He worked in a textile mill and was very well respected by the people there. They said his morality was as solid as anybody's you would ever meet. You never heard him use foul language. You never heard saw him cheat anyone. He did the right things. But here is this man who had done the right things morally, who had done the right things ethically. Here's this man who was so involved in church, who actually was the chairman of the pulpit committee that brought that pastor to the church, saying that he just received Christ as his Savior. And then he said this. He said, I had Jesus in my head. I just didn't have him in my heart. He said, I chose to do it my way. I thought if I just joined the church and I was baptized and I did good things, that would put me into a right relationship with God. That's exactly what Isaiah is saying here. You say, well, what do you think of that man? I think a lot of him, that man was my dad. You said, weren't you embarrassed? No, I could have never been more proud of my dad. To stand in front of all the people he knew, his friends and people he worked with every day, and say, I've just given my life to Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, my dad was a good man. But that changed his life. It changed his focus. It changed his purpose. Because you see, he realized what we all have to realize. Every one of us, it doesn't matter who we are, before Jesus, we've gone our own way. So it can be religion, it can be immorality, it can be making immoral choices, it can be doing things of that nature. But I will tell you this, you need to hear the rest of the passage. Listen to what Jesus or what Isaiah says. And the Lord has laid on him, meaning Jesus, the sin of us all. Aren't you glad that when Jesus went to the cross, he took our sin? He took our sin. He died for us. It's not religion that places us in a relationship with God. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You see, the only time that sheep are safe is when they're under the care of the shepherd. The only time that you're gonna live life the way you were born to live it is when you're under the care of God through Jesus Christ. Well, but I got some bad news for you. You can't get to God on your own. You can't get to God on your own. He said, what do you mean? Again, the analogy of sheep. Sheep are more directionally challenged than any other of God's creation. You take a sheep off and leave it on its own, it'll never get back. There's some birds that will migrate every year 1,500 to 2,000 miles and come back to the exact same place. Whales will migrate from Hawaii to Alaska every year to the same place. Even cats. You ever try to get rid of a cat? Don't answer that question. You know, back in the old day, you could take, you know, I don't want to. See, if you had a cat and you didn't want it, what you did, you took it two blocks over to your neighbor's neighborhood. But let me tell you, when you got back home, it was sitting on the front porch meowing at you. Even cats. You say, how do you know that? Don't ask me. I'm not going to answer it. But anyway, sheep will never make it to the shepherd on their own. That's the way it is with you and me. You can try as hard as you can. You can do what you want to. You can reform. You can become religious. You can do whatever you want to. But you can never get to God on your own. That's the bad news. But I got great news for you. What you can't do for yourself, Jesus will do for you. And that's what we see in this passage. Go back and look at it. Look at what David said. He restores my soul. He puts my life back together again. Let me tell you something. Your life may have fallen apart. Your life may be in shambles right now. You may be at the lowest of the low. I will tell you this. Jesus, if you will allow him, will put your life back together again. He will restore your soul. And then look at it. He said, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What does that mean? He will put you on the path that you were intended to live, and he will do that by creating that relationship with God the Father that only Jesus can. Well, that's what Jesus will do for you. Luke 15 is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Just jot that down maybe in the sermon notes. Luke 15, when you get home, read it. It's a story of lost things. The ultimate story is the story of the lost son. We call it the story of the prodigal son. But you also have the story of the lost coins. The lady had 10 coins, lost one, sweeps the house till she finds that one. But the first of the stories is this. It's about a lost sheep. And Jesus is trying to teach the religious leaders something who didn't get it, that Jesus was God come in the flesh, and Jesus was going to die on the cross to forgive the sins of all who would trust him. They didn't get it. Jesus was hanging out with the wrong kind of people. They didn't get that. And Jesus said, let me tell you some stories, and he begins with this one. He said, a man has 100 sheep, and one strays. That represents you and me. He said, what does the shepherd do? He says, he leaves the 99 in the care of another shepherd, and he goes and he searches till he finds the one, and then he places it on his shoulders, and he brings it home. Folks, let me tell you something today. God loves you. Jesus died for you. He is searching for you this morning. You are not here by accident, and if you will allow him to, he will place you on his shoulders spiritually, and he will bring you into relationship with the Father. And he did that when he gave his life on the cross. That's what he'll do for you. That's the promise that we have. You see, the Bible says, Jesus says of himself, I'm the good shepherd. Now, is it making sense? Is it all beginning to make sense now? Psalm 23. Listen, this psalm is all about Jesus. I am the good shepherd, but he goes a step further. Jesus does. He said, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Wow. Did you know Jesus died for you? If you're a follower of Christ, you're a follower of Christ because you trust what Jesus did for you when he died for you. Well, let's move on because you see, not only is this psalm for those who need a new shepherd, a new guide in their lives, and that's provided through Jesus, but this psalm is also for those who need courage and strength in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of the storm. You see, Jesus brings peace in the midst of the storms of your life. When you give your life to Christ, when he becomes your shepherd, that is not a promise that you'll never go through storms or you'll never face struggles. Look at what's happening right now as a result of Hurricane Helene. Look at all the devastation that's taking place. And I'm telling you, in that devastation, there are followers of Christ, and there are those who are not followers of Christ. The Bible doesn't teach us that Christians are exempt from storms. I know I'm looking at people right now, and I don't know you, but I know in a congregation like this, there are people, you trust Christ, you love him with all your heart, but you're going through a very difficult time. What does God have to say to you in this psalm? What does God have to say to us when we go through storms? Well, I want you to look at verse 4. There's a major change in verse 4. You know, when you look at the first three verses, David's been speaking in the third person. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've read this passage all my life, but it was only recently that this really jumped out at me. The first three verses, he's been speaking in the third person. In other words, what does he say? The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me to lie down beside still waters. He leads me into green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. But look at verse 4. What does he say there? In verse 4, it all changes. You prepare a table in the presence of mine enemies. Did you see that? You prepare a table. You go back to verse 5. You go back to verse 4, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It becomes very personal now. And today, some of you just need a personal word from God so that you will be encouraged even in the midst of your storm. David's been talking about what God will provide. Now he's speaking directly to God. And you know what he says? He will provide his peace in the face of difficulty. He begins by talking about death. This passage has been used in many funerals. I, in fact, used it recently in the funeral of a dear saint who just loved Jesus and had went to heaven. I remember during our days of evangelism training in our church, she'd been in an accident and was paralyzed and was in a wheelchair. She couldn't go out on visitation, but every Monday night she would come and she would sit in the prayer room and she would pray for all those who were out on visitation. And then she would make phone calls to those who had visited our church on Sunday. Just loved Jesus and wanted everybody to know him. Which I use this passage in her funeral. It's a reminder that you don't face death alone. It's a reminder, some of you today are dealing with that struggle. You have a family member, a close friend who recently died and is tough. But David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shepherd's staff was that long pole with a crook on it where he would guide the sheep to where they needed to go. And if they were getting off the trail, he would reach down and he would pull that sheep back. Aren't you glad we have a shepherd who pulls us back if we will allow him to when we're headed down a dangerous path? Maybe this morning you can feel that little bit of crook from that shepherd's staff around your neck, and God's trying to gently say, come back, come back. But it also says that you had the rod and the staff. The rod was the offensive weapon for protecting sheep. It was a short club that he would battle the lions and the other enemies of the sheep. What is our last enemy? It's death. Now, folks, hang on. Buckle up. Buckle up. Our last enemy is death. I want to tell you something. Jesus died for you on the cross that your sin could be forgiven. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. He was there 3 days and 3 nights. But I will tell you today, Jesus Christ is not in that tomb. He walked out of that grave. He's alive forevermore. And because he's alive, you can live also. And when you walk away from the graveside of a family member or friend who knows Jesus, I'm telling you, it's only temporary. One day you're going to see them again. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear any evil because I know you've already conquered that, and Jesus has. Now, I want you to notice something. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I'm almost done, shadows. Guys, shadows can't hurt you. Have you ever realized that? You ever been hurt by a shadow? I've been scared by a shadow, but I've never been hurt by one. They can't hurt you. I remember when I was in school, now some of you that are older, you're going to have to help your grandchildren right here, and even probably your children. With all the technology we have now, we can project just like you're doing here, things on the screens and all that. When I was in school, they had a thing called an overhead projector. Anybody remember that deal? I mean, that was a real fancy piece of equipment. It had a light, it had a table, you put a clear piece of plastic there where you'd written something on it, and it would project it up on the wall. He said, what's that got to do with this? Well, when the teacher would leave the room, we'd make shadow puppets on that same piece of equipment. Shadows can't hurt you. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down, because this may be one of the most encouraging things that you'll hear this morning as a Christian. Where there are shadows, there must be light. You may be in a dark time right now, but you've not been abandoned. You have the light of Jesus Christ available to you. You have the light of Jesus. What did Jesus say? I'm the light of the world. He'll shine a light in your dark place. But it's just not just physical death. It may be finances. It may be the death of a hope or a dream. It may be the death of a relationship. It may be your health. Whatever that dark place, whatever you're battling, you don't have to face it alone. And then in closing, I want you to see this. He said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And you anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. And then he says, because of that, goodness and mercy shall dwell with me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You prepare a table for me. Also get this statement as we bring this down to a close. God often delivers us in the difficulty before he delivers us from the difficulty. You prepare a table in the presence of mine enemies. He didn't say the absence. But the presence, you're not alone. You'll never face your enemies alone, God promises. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. You remember those three guys? They refused to bow to worship the false gods of Babylon. They wouldn't worship Nebuchadnezzar the king. They said, we can't do it. We have one God, the true God, and we can't bow to false idols. And the king said, if you don't, I'm going to take your life. They said, well, you'll just have to do it because we cannot bow. So they took them and they threw them into a furnace of fire. And they closed the door. And for whatever reason, the king in a few minutes said, I want to look inside. And he looked inside and he turns around and he says, hey guys, How many people did we throw into that furnace? They said, three. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, tell me again, how many? King, three. He said, well, we got a problem. Because as I look in, there's not three, there's four. And they're not harmed. And one of them is like the Son of Man. Can I tell you something this morning? It wasn't that he was like the Son of Man. It was the Son of Man. And whatever your fiery furnace this morning, whatever it is that the world or culture or the enemy has thrown you into, I will tell you, you are not alone, and God will be there with you, and he will provide your deliverance, and he will provide your care, and he'll provide your peace. Only God can do that. Folks, we need the truth of the 23rd Psalm. What a promise God makes. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. This morning, maybe you're here and you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And you're just going through a rough time. I don't make light of that. I'm not so sure I'd be doing as well as you are if I were where you are right now. But I do know this, we have the promise that God makes to us. And that promise is that he will accompany you through this dark time. If you're in the furnace this morning, he'll be right there with you. If you're walking through the valley, he'll be right there with you as well. Whatever it is you're facing. So would you right now, just from where you are, would you say, Lord, I just need you. Maybe you didn't even want to get up and come to church this morning, but you just felt you needed to. And now you know why, because God has a word for you. Would you trust him right now? Would you just right now just commit yourself as a believer in Christ to depending on him no matter what the storm or how dark the day or how difficult the situation? And maybe in a few minutes when we enter into what we call an invitation, you may want to just come kneel here at this altar area and pray and just say, God, I need your strength and your courage. Or maybe you know someone that's going through a difficult time and you want to come pray for them. The Bible says we should pray one for another. And you want to come and just kneel and pray for them, you come. But then let me turn our attention to this. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. You've never trusted him as your shepherd, as your guide, as your savior. Maybe you've tried religion. Maybe it's knowledge. Maybe it's pleasure, money, but nothing you have placed your faith in has brought you the peace that you need and fill the emptiness of your heart. This morning, I want to give you an opportunity to trust Jesus Christ. I want to give you the opportunity today to say yes to him. You say, Pastor, I'd love to, but I don't even know how. Let me help you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, it's not the words you say, it's the attitude of your heart. But if you want Jesus in your heart this morning and you want him to change your life and place you on the path you were intended to live, would you pray with me something like this? Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for taking my sin upon yourself. And this morning, I trust you. I repent of my sin. I have a new attitude. I want to follow you. And so right now, I invite you into my life to be my Savior, to be my Lord. Would you do that? And today, if you trusted him, the Bible says not to keep it a secret, but to share it. Like my dad did that. Now, that doesn't mean you got to stand here with a microphone and speak. But when the pastors of this church, when leaders of this church are standing on the floor in front of this pulpit area in just a moment, after I pray and we stand, you come and say, Pastor, today I want this Jesus in my life. Or today I'm trusting him. Maybe you've trusted him and God has shown you need to take that next step, which is to follow him in baptism, which is a picture of what Jesus has done. You come, or maybe you're a Christian and God's leading you to join this great church. You come. Let me pray. We'll stand. I'm going to get out of the way. We're going to have one final song. This is your opportunity to obey what God's spoken to your heart. Father, thank you today for your word. Thank you for what you've taught us. May we now, Father, just simply trust you. Followers of Christ who are here, whatever the difficulty or whatever they're going through, that they would trust you. And then, Lord, those who need you today, they would not leave without that relationship. that you desire for them to have. I pray it in Jesus' name. Would you stand? Would you come on this last song?
Thank you, church. You may be seated. You know, this morning I was thinking as Brother Larry was preaching, Hurricane Helene has done insurmountable damage to many areas of our country in the southeast. But I thought about what a picture that is for many of us. Our lives are a mess. We feel that sense of hopelessness and despair. We feel as if we're totally lost, we're broken. And maybe you're here this morning and you may have a smile on your face, but you're crying in your heart. There's pain there. There's been loss. There's been insurmountable suffering that you've experienced. And maybe no one really knows about it. But I'm here to tell you this morning, the shepherd knows. And the shepherd loves you. And he invites you to come to him. He invites you to trust him. And we just want to make that final appeal to you today, that if you're outside of Christ, to turn to Jesus today and be saved. Maybe you're here as a believer and you're still struggling with some storms in your life, please be assured that the shepherd knows where you are and he will help you. Just run to him and trust in him, and you can be assured that he will always be there for you. Brother Larry, thank you so much for your message today. Wow, what a timely word, amen? I needed that word today. So thank you. Thank you so much for your faithfulness to proclaim God's word. In just a moment, I'm going to invite our pastor search team to come, and we're going to have a time of introduction and blessing over them. But before they do, I do want to just quickly share a few matters with you. We've already mentioned Hurricane Helene and the damage that it's been brought. And already there are many questions about our response. I do want to share just a few matters with you of our response as a church. There's three ways that we can respond to the storm through our church. And first of all, church, I want to encourage you to give. And now you can give financially, and should you choose to do that, you can write a check to our church, Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church, and earmark it toward disaster relief recovery. And we will use those funds to help with local work here in our Floyd County Association. There was a church literally destroyed in the storm, and so there is much work needs to be done to help that church rebuild. Your funds will help support the work of the reconstruction of that church. As well, there is other damage that has taken place here in Floyd County, but your contributions can help us bring relief to people here in Floyd County. So if you choose to do that, it would be greatly appreciated. Just make sure your check is earmarked toward disaster relief in Floyd County, and that will help us be a blessing to this community. But listen, you're also welcome this morning to donate particular items. I was speaking this morning with Tim McGinnis. There are some men that will be leaving Thursday morning to make a run to Franklin, Tennessee to deliver any items that are donated to go toward disaster relief in North Carolina. And so if you can help with that, we're going to provide for you a list of items that we would like to carry to Tennessee to be distributed to North Carolina. It will be on our Facebook page, our church website, on Realm. We're going to get the word out to you. We want everybody to have access to the list. But if you don't remember anything, remember water. Amen. We all need water. So do help us with that. But if you can bring those items to the church by no later than 5 o'clock on Wednesday, that will help us so we can get the stuff loaded on a trailer and on its way to help those precious people on Thursday morning. So if you could help us with that, we would greatly appreciate it. Also, another way we can help is by going. And our church is involved with Samaritan's Purse, and we're going to be getting involved in a trip down to Valdosta here very soon. I've got to work out the details with them, but we will be getting word out. And so for those of you who would like to go and participate in that trip, let me know. I would love to have you. It's very well worth your while. It's a blessing to see people being touched in tangible ways, but they will always hear the gospel. So please let me know if you're interested in being a part of that, but I will be getting more information out to you concerning that trip. But lastly, and perhaps most importantly, is to pray. We're to give, we're to go, but we're to pray. And we're to pray for those who have been affected by the storm. We need to pray for God's protection and welfare over them during this very difficult time. But we also want to pray for the lost to hear the gospel. And friends, I really, really believe with all my heart that God blesses prayer. And we need to be a people of prayer, especially now. We need to be praying that as lives are devastated by this storm, that their hearts are open to the truth. People need the Lord. And we cannot just let people die and go to hell. We need to pray for the lost to be saved. Amen. So, church, let's be a giving church. Thank you so much for your faithfulness in the past and the way you always step up to the plate. And so let me encourage you again this time, as our nation is in a crisis, to step up and be a sacrificial church. I want to invite our pastor search team to come and join me just now. And Kevin Payne is our chairman. And Kevin's going to make some introductions, and then we're going to have a time of prayer over our search team.